Welcome back. It's good to see you all here again this evening. Does everyone has their notes, the new life and the power of the Holy Spirit? All right, so that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. Before we start, let's just give this time over to the Lord. So Jesus, we thank you that this is a day that you have made, and we do rejoice, and we are happy in it. We ask you, Lord, to use this teaching on the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts, to touch us, and to draw each one of us closer to your Spirit. We bless you for that, Jesus. We thank you for this day. We thank you for waking us up healthy and full of you this morning. And we ask that you be with us throughout the balance of this day into this night. And we pray this as we do all things through Christ our Lord. Amen. All right. Amen. So, we've talked about the love that the Lord has for us. We've talked about the Holy Spirit and our second teaching. And tonight we're talking about the new life. The Lord gives us new life through the power of the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. So the Father wants all men and women to have new life and to have spiritual power. He sent his Son Jesus into the world so that we could be given the source of new life and the power of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit is the source of new life for all of us. Often, I'm hearing somebody. Often, the Christianity which we come in contact with has not been spiritually alive. But today, God is renewing his church by a fresh outpouring of his Holy Spirit, restoring power from heaven. So we're going to look at Acts 2, 17 and 18. So if you'd open your Bibles to Acts 2, 17 and 18. And while you're doing that, I just want to remind you to be using the little Life in the Spirit, Finding New Life in the Spirit, the little books that go along with this seminar. They're really helpful, and it's really good to be utilizing those as we go through this. And especially during the season of Lent, it's nice to have something different and something in addition to our regular prayer time that we normally do. Okay, so Acts 2, verse 17, it begins with this. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. So our teaching is built on the truth of this word that we just shared in Acts 2, starting with verse 17. God our Father sent his Son into the world to bring us new life and to bring us spiritual power. Jesus is Lord. If we accept his Lordship, we can experience a new freedom and a new life. That's why this is called the new life in the power of the Holy Spirit. In him, all of our sins can be forgiven, no matter what we have done. So no matter what you're thinking or what's coming back to your mind that maybe you've done recently or maybe decades ago, when you bring that before the Lord and ask him to forgive you, he will forgive you. Remember, we talk about a lot in 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sin, he is faithful and he is just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. That's the Lord's promise. So there is no sin too great, too grave, that he cannot forgive or will not forgive. When the Holy Spirit comes to someone, they become a changed person. person. So I'm going to go now to Acts 19. If you can move your Bible to Acts 19, 1 to 7. Verses 1 to 7. Okay, we all there? Great. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues, and they prophesied. So we can see through that scripture that when we receive the fullness and the power of the Holy Spirit, there is a change within us. There's a change within us because we're led into new life. We're led into a new way of knowing the Lord, a new way of living out our faith. We come to know God by experience. We come to know God as our Father who loves us and cares for us personally. We experience God's love and presence in a new way. We experience God speaking in our heart, teaching us, guiding us. We come to know what it really means as Jesus, as our Lord. The Lordship of Jesus begins to be the basic principle for our way of life. What happens is we're able to pray in a new way. Our prayer becomes more centered on God and less on ourselves. Our prayer is more often prayer of praise and thanksgiving. I know for my own experience, prior to being baptized in the Spirit, my prayer was normally things that I needed, things that I wanted God to give us as a family. Things that I prayed for that I knew my husband Herb needed, or our sons, Michael and Sean. So I was always asking for things. I don't know that I spent any time, to tell you the truth, really praising and worshiping the Lord. That I was never taught that. I had never heard about that. And I thought that was the right way of doing it. And then things really did change. When I made Jesus the Lord of my life, like through the prayer that you all prayed last week, and then was prayed with for the baptism in the Holy Spirit, what happened was my faith grew in such a way that I didn't even feel like I needed to ask. Although the Lord wants us to bring our needs to him. But I wasn't bringing every little thing. I was spending more time in praise and worship and then growing in faith, knowing that he would provide for all of our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Because what was happening was I was learning the word. I didn't really know it before. It wasn't a daily regimen or a daily habit in my life to read the word, to read the Bible. You know, I would hear it in church, but then it's easily forgotten, isn't it, once we get to our car? So it was through the new life in Jesus and through the baptism in the Spirit that changed. And that's what they're talking about here, that change comes, you know, for all of us if we want it and if we yield to it. So our prayer does become more of a praise, a prayer of praise and thanksgiving, because we're coming to know Jesus more and more in his spirit. And we're coming into the power of his spirit. So we can pray then through the power gifts. We discover that we can pray in tongues. That's one of the power gifts. The gift of tongues is a means of spiritual growth. And I know we've talked about this before, and I'm pretty sure I've shared with you that it isn't something that for most people comes right away. Some people it is. For me, that wasn't the case because I wasn't familiar with it. And the people that came to our church during this Lenten series, they were well-versed in it, and they were praying that way, and I didn't understand it, and I asked them a lot of questions about it, and it just didn't click for me. But as I've said before, what was happening was, as I was staying into the Word of God through reading the Scriptures every day, and as I was meeting with people weekly that were praying that way, that were having praise and worship meetings or prayer meetings, I was hearing people pray that way over and over again, and it just clicked for me. And the way it clicked for me was, it was telling the Lord how much I loved him. It was like, and I've shared this before, in case you haven't heard it, you think about somebody that you really love in your life, that person that is really the love of your life, and you want to tell them how much you love them. But the words that you have just aren't deep enough, just don't express it the way you want to express it. And that's how tongues clicked for me, that this gift, which is the perfect prayer the Scriptures tell us, pray through us to God our Heavenly Father, is that perfect prayer. That's expressing the depth of my heart when I don't have the words to do it. And that made sense to me. You know, it just, you know, I would think about Herb and how much I loved him and the kids and how my words just didn't cut it, just didn't express it. And then that's when I realized, I remember one Wednesday night hearing these people and thinking, that's what tongues is all about. When we don't know how to express it as we should, when we don't know how to pray as we should, that's how it made sense to me. And then I went home and I tried to do it. Her was asleep, the kids were in bed, I was in the bathroom, and I thought, I'm going to do it. Well, I thought that if I prayed in English, those words of English would just change into the gift of tongues. Well, obviously that's not what happens. I didn't know that. I had no teaching on it. And I was in there for a couple hours, and like nothing was happening. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to bed. So I went to bed, and the next morning, Herb went off to work. The kids were going in for a nap, and I was out in the living room having my prayer time. And I just asked the Lord to give me that gift, because, you know, if you don't want it, he's not going to give it to you. So it isn't anything to be afraid of. It isn't anything, you know, I mean, you have to want it. And the way I look at it, guys, is if the Lord has a gift for me, I want it. Why would I say to him, no, I don't want your gift? I want whatever he has to give. And I remember sitting there and thinking about what I heard people saying, and I started making those syllables, and I received the gift then. Now, it sounded like kids' gibberish, but I had heard that that's what happens in the beginning. But the more you use it, the more you receive it, the more you get. And that was my beginning. And then I started going to those meetings and meeting with people who prayed that way. And I became more fluent in it. And it's, for me, it's been a wonderful gift and a wonderful prayer for me through all the things that took place as life happened to us, to our family, as the years went on. Little did I know how much I would need it, but it's been a wonderful gift. So anyway, that's what this is saying. Prayer in the Spirit inspires within us a desire to praise God and to worship in the Spirit. Let's look at John 4. John 4. 23 and 24. Okay, John 4, verse 23. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So that's what the Lord is calling you and me to worship him, in spirit, to worship him in truth. Prayer in the spirit inspires within us the ability to pray when we cannot pray adequately with our mind and with our words. That's in Romans 8, 26, 27. When we don't know how to pray as we should, that prayer, when we yield the smallest member of our body, which is our tongue, we pray then that prayer of the Holy Spirit. What happens when we get the fullness of the Spirit and the power of the Spirit is the Bible comes to life. You ever experience that? Like you hear a scripture and you feel like, I never heard that before. Yet we have heard it before, but now we're hearing it, you know, with the ears of our heart. Now we're hearing it in a different way. We're hearing it through the power of the Holy Spirit. So the Bible really comes to life. And then, you know, we remember more what the Bible is telling us. You know, the Lord brings it back to our minds and to our hearts. We can receive the gifts of the Spirit to serve God. Gifts of the Spirit, such as prophecy. Prophecy is when we're together and we feel like the Lord wants to say this to this group of people. And the Lord gives us a message to speak. And that is something that's always biblical. It never speaks against the Word of God. It never condemns. What it does is it exhorts us to draw closer to the Lord. It encourages us in our walk with the Lord. That's what the gift of prophecy, they are earmarks for prophecy. And, you know, those of us who want that gift can be prayed with for that gift. And then what we do is we act as if we have it. When we're together and we're praying and you have a thought that's biblical, you share it. It may be a scripture. Maybe an inspired scripture that comes to your mind. I know last week we talked a lot about John 3:16, and so that might come to your mind. So you might share that. It's whenever we gather in the name of Jesus, the Lord is always present to us, isn't he? Because he tells us, you know, that where two or more gather, there I am in the midst of you. And then he also says, I dwell in the praises of my people. So when we're together, he's here. When we're into the Word, he is this Word. Jesus is this Word made flesh. So he is with us through his Word. And he's with us through our praise and is with us in our gathering. So when he's with us, I guess my point is, he's not a silent God. He speaks. He always has something to say, doesn't he? We have a whole book here telling us what he has said to say. And so we expect him to speak, and through the power of the Spirit, he speaks through you and he can speak through me. He speaks through those of us who say, I want you to use me, Lord. I want you to use me to bring your word tonight. If you have a word for your people, use me to speak it. The fruit of the Spirit develops within us. The fruit of the Spirit is what we have when we have the power of the Spirit within us. Again, it's like it's like a tree that bears fruit. You know, you plant an apple tree, apples come from that tree. We plant the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit through the baptism of the Spirit in our hearts. And so the fruit of that is we have an increase of love within us. We have an attitude and a spirit of peace. We have a joy that is new and different that we didn't experience before. We have patience, where before we may have been short of patience. The Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, gives us patience. We have a mildness and a meekness. We have an increase of self-control. This is all found in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. This is what we have, along with the gifts, when we receive the power of the Holy Spirit. We can receive the gifts of the Spirit to serve God, as we said. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12, and we'll look at some of those. 1 Corinthians 12. Okay. I'm going to start 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by that same Spirit, another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So that gives us a list of all the different power gifts, all the different gifts the Holy Spirit has for us. Now, this doesn't mean that if you have one of them, that's it for you. Like it's saying, for one has this, one has that. It doesn't mean that you can't have more than one. It doesn't mean that you can't ask for all of them. You pray and you ask the Lord to give you the gifts that you feel he's calling you to, that you feel that you are interested in. You know, oftentimes the Lord brings us to those things that we have in the natural world, the things that we do naturally, that come to us naturally, and he, through the power of the Holy Spirit, empowers those gifts for us. So you might think about the things that you do as a profession or the things that you do in your family or whatever, and you might see one of these gifts that kind of you're attracted to, and you think, you know, I would like to pray with people for healing. I'd like to see people get well, or I'd like to be able to bring words of encouragement, you know, to people when they need prayer, you know. And what the Lord does is you ask and you shall receive. You have people pray with you for that, and then you yield. We believe we receive. You know, it's not any magical, mystical thing that happens. It's very natural. You ask for it. You believe that we ask, we receive, and then we act as if we've received it. We do it. And we're going to have more teachings down the road on the different gifts that will make it even easier to understand. Okay. So we're on letter F. We can discern the temptations of Satan more clearly, resisting him and sin more successfully. This is another gift that we receive. It's another power gift, and the power of the Holy Spirit, that gift of discernment, knowing what's of the Lord and what isn't, knowing what is from the enemy. Number three, full life in the Spirit begins when we are baptized in the Spirit. When we are baptized in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit comes to us in such a way that we can experience his presence and see it change us. For many of us, this will not be our first reception of the Holy Spirit, but the release of the power that already is within us. So, you have the Holy Spirit within you, but you might say, well, I've never experienced these things, and I've never felt like I had a word of the Lord for somebody, or I've never prayed for healing, or I've never prayed in tongues. That's because we haven't, the power of the Holy Spirit hasn't been released within you, and that's what happens when you're prayed with for the baptism of the Spirit. In John 20:22, Jesus says to us, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. So he wants us all to receive the power of his Spirit. The baptism in the Spirit effectiveness is reactivated. Baptism consists in this. Finally, man contributes his part. Namely, he makes a choice of faith prepared in repentance that allows the work of God to set itself free and emanate all its strength. It's as if the plug is pulled and the light switch is on. The gift of God is finally untied and the Spirit is allowed to flow like a fragrance in the Christian life. It's like having a dishwasher. You get a dishwasher, but you never plug it in and use it. So it's as if you don't have the dishwasher, right? You're still washing the dishes every night. Same thing. We have the Holy Spirit within us, but we haven't plugged them in. We haven't used these gifts because we didn't have that power. Through the baptism in the Spirit, that's how we receive the power. Before talking about the baptism in the Spirit, it's important to try and understand about the renewal in the Spirit and what that is all about. Now, after the Second Vatican II, many things in the church's life were renewed. Anybody remember before Vatican II? Anybody? I'm the only one? Come on, guys. Okay. We remember before Vatican II. Okay, what was renewed? Well, the liturgy changed. I grew up with a liturgy in Latin, not understanding anything that was being said, and the priest with his back to the people, you know, facing the altar. After Vatican II, that changed. You know, the priest turned towards the people. The Mass was not in Latin. That whole celebration was different. Pastoral care, the care that the church brought to the church, changed. The canon law code. Now, I'm not going to get into that. That would be Father Dale's department. Obviously, that changed too. The constitutions of the religious orders and their dress changed. Now, that I do remember because I went 12 years to Catholic school and Catholic high school. I had Sisters of Charity. They were the sisters that had like sailboats, those big white flappy, the sailboat sisters. And I had those in grade school at St. Dominic's. And then in high school was Catholic High, and that was the Franciscans. And the nuns all dressed that way in their habits. And then after Vatican II, slowly things started to change, where the nuns no longer were wearing their habits and were wearing suits and would wear a special pin indicating their order and so forth. And the nuns I had didn't wear anything on their heads. And, you know, it was very different. Some people really embraced it, like any change. You know, you can't please everybody. And some people really liked the change. Some people did not like the change at all, because change is not easy, is it? Change is not easy. But we know. We look at change as not the end of things, but as new beginnings. Okay. Although all these things are important, they are only external. And woe to us if we stop there and think the task is finished, because it is not structures, but souls that are important to God. It is in men's souls that the church is beautiful, writes St. Ambrose. And therefore, it is in men's, and of course we mean women's here too, in men and women's souls, that she must make herself beautiful. Different people see different changes happen to them as a result of being baptized in the Spirit. So for each one of you, it may look different. Whatever gift you're yielding to, whatever you feel drawn to, whatever your natural gifts are too and experiences. Those who have not been Christians will be given a full working of the Spirit. Those who have already experienced something of the Spirit's presence in their lives can receive all that is lacking. Everyone can experience a new present and working of the Holy Spirit. So wherever we are in our journey, there is something special that the Lord has for you and for me. Those who have been Christians will see that our years of Christian living have provided us with many resources that will be brought to life by the new presence of the Spirit in us. No Christian should lack contact with God or be powerless as a Christian. Everyone, even beginners in the Christian life, can be baptized in the Spirit. Now, baptism in the Spirit is only the beginning of the new life. It isn't like once we get prayed with for the baptism in the Spirit and we receive and things are starting to change and the Bible's coming alive to us and, you know, think, well, this is it. But that's just the beginning, because there's much more that the Lord has for us. With the help of other committed Christians as our brothers and sisters, we begin to grow even more in our spiritual maturity. We can develop a daily communication and friendship with Christ. That's when a couple weeks ago, we had the series on prayer and how to develop our appointment with God through having prayer and talking to Him, have conversation with Him each day. We can experience a new peace and joy and see ourselves being healed, becoming loving people. That peace and joy, remember Galatians 5:22? We talked about that being the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's two of the things. In Galatians 5:22, when we have the Holy Spirit, we have these characteristics within us. We can develop better relationships. We see that our relationships are more in accordance with the Word of God. Our relationships are more godly. They're based on our mutual relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it becomes amazing when... One of the things I noticed in the beginning was when I would meet someone and they had been baptized in the Spirit and maybe we were prayed with at the same time or whatever, and I didn't know them before, but you know, you start to talk to someone, and when you have that bond through Jesus, it's like you knew him for years, and it's like you become close really quickly because of what's bringing you together and what's binding you together, which is the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, next week, we're going to look more closely at how we enter into this new life and all the good God has for us. And then the following week, on March the 12th, will be our ministry night, our prayer night, where we will pray with those who want the fullness of the Spirit, those who want the power, life of the Holy Spirit, and the gifts of the Spirit. If you would like that, there'll be people here that will pray with you to receive that or any of the gifts that you would like to receive. And that's going to be on March the 12th. So in the meantime, over these next 2 weeks, please think about it. Look over these notes. Think about what the Lord has for you this Lent of 2020. And think about what gifts you feel He's calling you to step out in. You know, we all need the Lord. There's a lot of people outside those doors that need the Lord. There's a lot going on in the world today that's causing people anxiety and worry and sickness. And that's what this is all about, to bring love and to bring peace to them and to bring joy to them and to show them how they don't have to live that way. But first, we need to know we don't have to live that way. And how? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. So please think about it, pray about it. I'm going to leave you with one thought here. This is the Holy Spirit Encounter Bible, and it's like one of my very favorites. And I came across this as I was praying today. And it's taken from Luke 24:49. It says, Jesus promises the Spirit. Jesus promised to send the Holy Spirit to His disciples. Pentecost fulfilled that promise, and we see that in Acts 2. The coming of His Spirit fills us with power from heaven. I'm going to say that again. The coming of His Spirit fills us with power from heaven. That power gives boldness to our witness and the ability to minister with signs and wonders that point to Jesus as the Lord and as Christ. So, over these next 2 weeks, let's ask ourselves, will we invite the Holy Spirit to fill us with power when we gather on March 12th? Will we invite the Holy Spirit to fill us with power? So let's pray. So Jesus, we thank You. We thank You so much for Your word to us. We thank You that You don't want us to struggle, that you want to give us the power that we need to fill our lives with your Holy Spirit that will transform our life, our families, those we love, and those that we're called to minister to. So, Lord, we ask that you would speak to us over these next 2 weeks. Guide and direct us as we know you will. Show us just how you want us to be filled with your Spirit, how you want us to reach out to others, and prepare our hearts, our souls, and our minds to be ready to receive the power of your Holy Spirit as we're ministered to in 2 weeks. We thank you for that, Jesus. We thank you that you have a special assignment for each and every one of us gathered here. For we know we're not here by mistake. We're here because you have called us. So we thank you for that, Jesus. And we look forward to hearing from you over these next weeks, Lord. And we pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen and amen. And again, don't forget your little book to be using that each day.